STR podcasts are brought to you through the generous support of people just like you. You can support these podcasts by making a gift online at str.org or by phone at 1-800-2-REASON.
You know the gay rights narrative. Homosexuals are born that way, change is impossible, and their behavior is morally permissible. And for those who believe in a higher power, well, God made them gay and loves them that way. Homosexuals should find moral parity with the plight of African Americans during their struggle for civil rights. Well, of course, this narrative demands an overhaul of our culture. Laws must accommodate the unique desires of homosexuals, no matter their impact on schools or businesses or the military. And marriage must expand to include same-sex couples. Now, religion must adapt too. The Bible? Well, reinterpret it. Theology? Change it. Homosexual behavior can no longer be sin. These archaic biblical prohibitions must be updated to meet modern values. Churches, religious groups, and individuals that resist this kind of change are labeled homophobic and demonized until they succumb to the pressure. But there is an inconvenient truth that won't go away. That is, homosexuals can change. You see, gay rights activists will stop at nothing to prevent this belief from becoming widespread, because it's the one fact that undermines the entire homosexual narrative. You see, if homosexuals can change, then the gay rights narrative collapses. That means homosexuality isn't genetic, biological, or inborn. And if you aren't born gay, then same-sex attraction is not immutable. If homosexuals can change, then, well, sexual orientation isn't in the same category as ethnicity. After all, no African American ever became Assyrian. Therefore, sexual preferences aren't a matter of civil rights. The demand to include same-sex couples in marriage then becomes baseless. Now, if homosexuals can change, there's also no need to reinterpret the Bible. Homosexual behavior is still sin, and God didn't make gays with same-sex attraction. The claim of 1 Corinthians 6:9, which is that former homosexuals exist, turns out to be not at all that controversial. In fact, leaving a life of homosexual activity is akin to leaving a life of any inappropriate sexual activity, like fornication or adultery or, you know, you name it. And so this entire house of cards collapses with this one reality that homosexuals can change. That's why it's the greatest threat to the gay rights movement, is the ex-gay testimony. Now, gay rights activists are working feverishly to shut down the voice of former homosexuals. And they really have a three-pronged approach to this. The first thing to do is they try to discredit the testimony of former homosexuals. So they claim that ex-gays are either lying, deluded, or repressing their same-sex attraction. And they've set up these watchdog organizations to monitor the ex-gay movement. In the instant a former homosexual expresses or acts out on a homoerotic impulse, well, they declare the person has backslidden and claim victory. And in some cases, former homosexuals do return to homosexual behavior, and these people, of course, are celebrated and paraded as ex-gay. Now, the second thing they do is they try to stop the source of the problem, which is religious motivation. And since many men and women find their same-sex attraction to be inconsistent with their religious values, and typically, by the way, these are biblical values, they try to reinterpret the Bible. And there's this growing movement, even within conservative evangelical churches now, to make scripture gay-affirming, thereby eliminating the biblical imperative to change a life of homosexual behavior. Now, one attempt at this effort is backed by an organization called the Reformation Project. And you can tell, of course, even by the name, that they hope to align themselves with the noble reform efforts of Martin Luther. And Matthew Vines, who's the organization's, you know, gay Christian founder, I put in quotes, has handpicked 50 conservative Christian leaders to bring his message of pro-gay theology to mainstream evangelicalism. Now, the third thing they do is they try to restrict therapists from helping homosexuals change. And so both California and New Jersey have recently passed legislation banning clinicians from helping minors overcome same-sex attraction, even if the minors ask for help. Now, it's no surprise they pursue this strategy, given that sexual attraction is most likely to change from homosexual to heterosexual, even without therapy, among the 15 to 21-year-old age group. And I make this claim with a reference to a number of different studies, but the one I'll just mention here on this podcast is simply the one which is published in the Archives of Sexual Behavior called Prevalence and Stability of Sexual Orientation Components During Adolescence and Young Adulthood. So homosexuals can change. They do change, and they'll continue to change. Now, it isn't always easy, and we shouldn't force people to change, but clearly this is an option for those with unwanted same-sex attraction. And it's this reality that is most troubling for gay rights activists. It's also the one fact that upends the gay rights narrative.
You've been listening to Stand to Reason. Our podcasts are made possible by friends of this ministry through their generous support. You can support STR by making a gift online at str.org.